God is love, but what does love look like? What does God look like? God's love is discovered in Christ Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, his love, his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, and his word are all one. What does the Father look like? Jesus said to Philip in John 14:9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Then John 14:24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but my Father's which sent me. Jesus Christ is the word of God. And how about Colossians 2, verses 8 and 9? Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ is God's love to this world. He is our atonement for sin. He is our promise of life and life more abundantly. He is the promise of eternal life. He is the power to live a godly, victorious life. Have you found this Jesus? Are you born again? Would you like to have all your sin and shame expunged from your record as though you had never sinned? God said, man said, has good news. Today is your day of salvation. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. God said, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God said, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 19, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Man said, according to Sigmund Freud, faith is a universal obsessional neurosis, infantile, narcissistic. Now the record. Keep the number 70 million in your mind. Life is a journey. Each of us begins at conception, and all along the way, road choices are made, and these choices truly lead to a final destination. You and I are headed somewhere, and that somewhere is dependent on the map, or in our cases, the who we follow. The example can not be more stark than that of Eve and Adam. In the beginning, our grandparents lived in a place where only the voice of God was heard and obeyed. They lived in the paradise created by God, and they were immortal. Every morning, they awoke to a beautiful postcard sky. Then one day, a second voice was heard in the garden, Satan's voice, and our mother Eve and father Adam chose to follow Satan. From that very day, paradise and immortality were lost, and the law of sin and death began to reign upon this earth, an earth now headed for a fiery doom. It was the first voice, second voice in the beginning of the history of man, and the situation has not changed. Our lives upon this earth depend upon the voice to which we yield, which voice we follow. This is God Said, Man Said, feature 570. That proves the immutable truth of the supernaturally authored Word of God discovered in the majority text, the authorized King James Version of the Holy Bible. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. These features are all archived in text and streaming audio for the edification of the saints and ammunition in the war for the souls of men. We are honored by your visit. May the face of God shine upon you with light and truth. They clamor for proof, but not really. Jesus said in John 3:19-20, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one of them that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Sir John Templeton once said, "Humans searching for evidence of God is much like a wave on an ocean searching for evidence that the ocean exists. The evidence is everywhere, but hardly more obvious than the results of who you follow." In the early 1900s, a man by the name of Sigmund Freud entered the world psychic, an atheist to make Charles Darwin proud, and vaulted the field of psychology into the mainstream into a position of honor. The world began to follow the enemy of Jesus Christ, Sigmund Freud. Patrick Glynn, author of the book God the Evidence, wrote the following. After Darwin and the random universe, the second great challenge to religious belief in the 20th century came from Sigmund Freud and psychoanalysis. Psychoanalysis was a major force for secularization and 20th century societies, inspiring a virtual revolution in manners and morals. It was also an explicitly atheistic, indeed openly anti-religious doctrine. Freud attacked religious belief repeatedly. In The Future of an Illusion, that was printed in 1927, he branded faith as a form of mental disorder, a universal obsessional neurosis rooted in infantile and narcissistic patterns of thought, a neurosis that he predicted humanity would outgrow. If science was to prosper, Freud believed the credibility of religion must be destroyed. It was quite simply the enemy. Of the three powers, art, philosophy, and religion, that may contest the very soil of science, he wrote, "Religion alone is the serious enemy." As early as 1909, the Viennese libertine, as the New York Times dubbed Freud, captured the American fancy when he paid his first visit to the United States. His audacious talk of childhood sexuality, incest, and the need to overcome repression of sexual urges tantalized the public imagination. Widely interpreted or misinterpreted as a call to personal sexual liberation, Freud's doctrines fed the loosening sexual prohibitions and rising divorce rates that characterized the racy pre-Depression era. By the 1920s, his psychoanalytic terminology, inferiority complex, sadism, masochism, Oedipus complex, was the stuff of cocktail party chit-chat. In the immediate post-World War II years, the influence of psychoanalytic thinking became even more pervasive as psychoanalytic institutes multiplied and the Freudian gospel spread to every level of American culture, from women's magazines to the highest reaches of academia. Benjamin Spock rewrote the rules of child rearing based on Freudian principles in a text that became the handbook of millions of parents, end of quote. Sigmund Freud's blasphemies began to fall in the last part of the 20th century. Again, Patrick Glynn. Yet the last quarter of the 20th century has not been kind to the psychoanalytic vision. Most significant has been the exposure of Freud's views of religion, not to mention a host of other matters, as entirely fallacious. Ironically enough, scientific research in psychology over the past 25 years has demonstrated that, far from being a neurosis or source of neurosis, as Freud and his disciples claim, religious belief is one of the most consistent correlates of overall mental health and happiness. Study after study has shown a powerful relationship between religious belief and practice on the one hand and healthy behaviors with regard to such problems as suicide, alcohol, and drug abuse, divorce, depression, even perhaps surprisingly, levels of sexual satisfaction in marriage on the other. In short, the empirical data run exactly contrary to the supposedly scientific consensus of the psychotherapeutic profession. The peculiarity of the situation is highlighted by David B. Larson, a former National Institute of Health psychiatrist who has cataloged many of these studies. If a new health treatment were discovered that helped to reduce the rate of teenage suicide, prevent drug and alcohol abuse, improve treatment for depression, reduce recovery time from surgery, lower divorce rates, and enhance a sense of well-being, one would think that every physician in the country would be scrambling to try it. Yet what if critics denounced this treatment as harmful, despite research findings that showed it to be effective more than 80% of the time? Which would you be more ready to believe? The assertions of the critics based on their opinions, or the results of the clinical trials based upon research. The new health treatment that Larson is talking about, of course, is religious faith. Numerous studies show that religious believers are far less likely than non-believers to commit suicide, abuse drugs or alcohol, experience debilitating stress, or get depressed or divorced. Moreover, people of committed religious faith consistently report much higher levels of personal happiness and psychological well-being than do their agnostic or atheistic counterparts. To have overlooked such a powerful source of mental well-being, indeed, to have mistaken it for a form of mental disorder, cannot be counted a minor oversight in a discipline that nominated itself as the science of mental health, end of quote. Billions of men and women and children have been ill affected in a dramatic way by the leadership of Satan's man, Sigmund Freud. Surely this performance underscores the accuracy of Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. In the late 1900s and into today's era, study after study has risen, debunking the foolishness of Freud. Several excerpts from God the Evidence, citing relevant research, follow. Suicide. A large-scale 1972 study found that persons who did not attend church were four times as likely to commit suicide than were frequent church attenders. A review of 12 studies of the relationship between religious commitment and suicide found a negative correlation in all 12 cases. Lack of church attendance has been found to be the single best predictor of suicide rates, better even than unemployment. Drug abuse. Numerous studies have found an inverse correlation between religious commitment and abuse of drugs. One survey of nearly 14,000 youths found that substance abuse varied in direct proportion to strength of religious commitment, with the most conservative religious youth abusing the least. The authors concluded that the importance of religion was the single best predictor of substance abuse patterns. Several studies have found that alcohol abuse is highest among those with little or no religious commitment. One study found that nearly 90% of alcoholics had lost interest in religion in youth, while among the non-alcoholic control group, 48% reported an increase in religious commitment in adulthood, and 32% reported no change. Depression and stress. Several studies have found that high levels of religious commitment correlate with lower levels of depression, lower levels of stress, and greater ability to cope with stress. Religious people recover from surgery more quickly than do their atheistic and agnostic counterparts. A 1978 study found that church attendance predicted marital satisfaction better than any other single variable. Couples in long-lasting marriages who were surveyed in another study listed religion as one of the most important prescriptions of a happy marriage. Most strikingly, an analysis of data from a massive survey of Red Book magazine readers in the 1970s found that very religious women report greater happiness and satisfaction with marital sex than either moderately religious or non-religious women. So religious people even seem to enjoy better marital sex. Overall happiness and psychological well-being. Strong religious believers consistently report greater overall happiness and satisfaction with life. In one Gallup survey, respondents with strong religious commitment who agreed that my religious faith is the most important influence in my life were twice as likely as those with minimal spiritual commitment to describe themselves as very happy. End of quote. Glenn cites in the 1988 report in the new Harvard Guide to Psychiatry, many who have worked closely with adolescents over the past decade have realized that the new sexual freedom has by no means led to greater pleasures, freedom, and openness, more meaningful relationships between the sexes, or exhilarating relief from stifling inhibitions. Clinical experience has shown that the new permissiveness has often led to empty relationships, feeling of self-contempt and worthlessness, an epidemic of venereal disease, and a rapid increase in unwanted pregnancies. Clinicians working with college students began commenting on these effects as early as 20 years ago. They noted that students caught up in this new sexual freedom found it unsatisfying and meaningless, end of quote. Finally, Mr. Glynn reports, while Freud dismissed religion as little more than a neurotic illusion, the emerging wisdom in psychology is that at least some varieties of religious experience are beneficial for mental health. The New York Times reported in 1991, the results is that growing numbers of psychologists are finding religion, if not in their personal lives, at least in their data. What was once at best an unfashionable topic in psychology has been born again as a respectable focus for scientific research. The last thing Freud would have predicted as the outcome of more than a half a century's scientific psychological research and therapeutic experience was the rediscovery of the soul, end of quote. An amazing proof that God and His Word are true and righteous altogether is that it is impossible to disobey any of His directives without suffering the curse, the results of doing the wrong thing. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In regard to psychology's successful efforts to remove sexual inhibitions versus God's prohibition of all sex outside the marriage bed, we find the following excerpt in the God Said, Man Said feature, The Literal Difference is Staggering. The situation. God strictly commands against fornication of any kind, including bestiality, premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, etc. In the U.S., those negatively affected in the camp of the disobedient, 70 million cases of genital herpes and HPV, 5 million with chlamydia, 1,100,000 with gonorrhea, 1 million with HIV, 45,000 cases of AIDS each year, 300,000 with hepatitis B, and 120,000 with syphilis. Those negatively affected in the camp of the obedient, 0,000,000. If you take the U.S. numbers and convert them to global proportions, the numbers would be at least 1,610,000,000 cases of genital herpes and HPV, 115 million with chlamydia, 25,300,000 with gonorrhea, 23 million with HIV, 1,035,000 cases of AIDS each year, 6,900,000 with hepatitis B, 2,760,000 with syphilis. And again, in the camp of God's obedient, these negatively affected, zero. Those who follow Satan's path of disobedience will end up where he is headed, and Revelation 20, verse 10 tells you where, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. God's word is true and righteous altogether, and those who disregard this serious word therapy do it at their own peril. God said, Acts chapter 4, 10 through 12, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God said, John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God said, Proverbs 11, 19, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Man said, according to Sigmund Freud, faith is a universal obsessional neurosis, infantile, narcissistic. Now you have the record.